1 Peter 3 and verse 7 is a passage that has just concluded a discussion about marriage. But in particular, that first six verses is about a believing wife married to an unbelieving husband and how she can bring him to the Lord. And so there's some great, great profound advice given that passage. But when you get to verse 7, it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I want to focus on that part about dwell with them according to knowledge. That's the King James translation, according to knowledge. And would you make a contrast in your mind between things that you know instinctively and things you know because you learned them? You have knowledge that you learned, and then you have some things that you didn't have to learn because you knew. Before I married Mrs. Colley all those years ago, there were some kinds of affection that I didn't have to be told about. When I got to be a young man, I declare to you that I knew I wanted to marry me a woman. Nobody ever told me that. Nobody ever came and said, "Now, Glenn, you need to make a choice between one gender and the..." Nobody ever said that. Now, that was instinctive. When my children were born, I was present for both of their births. And the people in that hospital, that wasn't my father's generation. They couldn't, those men, those daddies couldn't be in the delivery room. It was prohibited. Their job was to march in the waiting room there. But my generation figured that out. I wouldn't take $1 million for that. And the hospital staff, the doctor and the nurse, you know, they caught the baby in the clean, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And in both cases, they handed the baby to me first, to daddy first. That was smart. And I want you to know that nobody ever had to say to me, "Now, Glenn, you need to love this baby." Are you kidding? That baby has my nose, right? That baby is my baby. Now, that was instinctive. But now this verse says about your wife, you need to love her according to knowledge. What I believe that implies is that there are things about loving our wives that we don't instinctively know, that we have to learn. That's what I want to talk about today. The greatest thing you can do for your wife is to be a spiritual leader. May I repeat that? The greatest thing you can do for your wife is to be a spiritual leader. I want you to be the one who says before you eat, "Honey, let's pray and give thanks for this food." I want you to establish a practice every night before the two of you go to sleep that you open up the Word of God and you have a short Bible time together and that you pray together. You want to be a great husband? Be a great Christian. Want to be a great husband? Talk to her about what we need to pray about. Wouldn't it be great before you go to sleep each night to say, "Tell me, honey, the things that are on your heart, and I'll lead the prayer, and we're going to pray about this together." What are you doing? I'm being a spiritual family leader. Now, you be sure you do that. You make sure that it is never the case that you say about worship, "Honey, I just don't think I'm going tonight. I'm tired." What you say is, "I'm tired. I'm getting dressed, though, and we're going to go to worship because you're the leader." And your job, Ephesians 5 says, is to help your wife be an even more radiantly beautiful Christian than she already is. You take that responsibility. Now, with that number one in mind, I want to show you some other categories of showing affection to our wives. But what's important about this, gentlemen, is that I'm going to show you categories that may or may not make sense to you. And that's why it's important that we do this, spend this time, because I want you to be able to communicate with her in affection ways that make sense to her. When you talk about romance, what does that mean to your wife? If I say these are romantic acts that your husband does for you, what do you think she thinks about? Now, I want to assure you that what you think about, gentlemen, is very often different than what she thinks about. All right. Let me give you some categories. Here's the first one, the Cary Grant category. Now, these are categories of ways that, gentlemen, we show affection to our wives. This is how you love a wife. The Cary Grant category would be the things you'd think about as being romantic gestures. And so you write her No, sir. I knew a man that would get up in the night and go to the bathroom, and he would go into where his wife would, in the bathroom where his wife would be getting dressed in the morning, and he would take a dry erase marker, and on the mirror he would write something real, "I love you so much." And he'd cap it off, go back to bed. And when she'd get up, to get dressed in the morning, why, there'd be this message. I heard of a husband who would sneak into the bathroom when his wife was taking a shower, and he would get the towel off the rack and go and put it in the dryer for a few minutes, and then just put it back and go away, you know. And so when she reached for it, she would think, "What a man, what a man." Yeah. In the cars, when Hannah, our daughter, was a teenager, she had a car, and Cindy, my wife, has a car, and my job was to take care of paying up the insurance and the registration. And so I would take care of those things, and I would put them in an envelope in the glove compartments. And on the outside of the envelope, you write, "Give this to the policeman." Right? But what you ought to do if you have an envelope like that is to put a note in there that says, "Honey, if you're reading this, it may be because you've had an accident. And I want you to know that I don't care about this car. I only care about you." Now, that's the Cary Grant category. The Cary Grant category is that you ought to take your wife on a date. Now, don't you be saying, "Well, I guess sometimes you'll have to do this," but you take your wife out to dinner sometimes. Let me tell you what a mistake is. A mistake is only doing that when supper is late and you say, "Look, I'm real hungry. You won't just go out." Well, I understand there's some functionality to that. But if you're really smart, what you're going to do is to think about that the day before. Not that supper's going to be late, but that you'd like to take her out. You ought to ask her a day ahead, "Honey, I'd like to take you out tomorrow night." Now, supper's not going to cost you more money. Say, it's the same. The difference is that you've engaged in the Cary Grant category. Here's the second one, the Mr. Clean category. All right, I'm going to say this plain. Your wife views voluntary help with the house as a romantic gesture. All the women are nodding, all the men are saying, "What? What?" Now, I understand that doesn't compute very well in the male mind, how you link together voluntary. Now, I said voluntary. Voluntary help with housework is viewed by a wife as a romantic act. Now, I'm not always good at this. What I try to do, though, we have a lot of company at our house. And when somebody's coming over, Mrs. Connie gets a little bit nervous because the house is an extension of her. And I like that. I understand that. But she wants to clean in places that nobody's ever going to look. She's going to get that house clean. And so I try to come home an hour or hour and a half early and put on my blue jeans, and I'll say, "Honey, I am your slave for the next hour and a half. Tell me what to do." She'll say, "Will you clean the bathrooms?" Yeah, I'll clean the bathrooms. And I'm telling you, I'm good at it. I can make get those chemicals. I can make them spick. Come back in and say, "Honey, you got me for 40 more minutes. What you want me to do?" "Well, would you vacuum?" "Sure, I'll vacuum. I want to vacuum. Yeah, I can vacuum." All right, here's the next one. The Santa Claus category. Santa Claus category of expressing affection to your wife is that there are important times you cannot forget. We have some close friends, faithful Christians, who live in a different state from ours and yours. And she grew up in an American home that was probably more typical. I mean, they observed birthdays and Valentine's Day and anniversaries and all of those kinds of days. But he didn't. I'm telling you, he grew up where Christmas Day was just another day. Birthdays, what? I don't know how old I am. That's why they just didn't practice any kind of holidays or gift giving. And so then these two people get married, and what happens is that she's just disappointed a lot. Now, they've been married a long time, and I think they really love one another, but Valentine's Day comes, and she'll be going to worship, and she'll be around the other women, and one of them will say, "Oh, you know what? My husband gave me some flowers and some candy for Valentine's Day. What did your husband give you?" "Oh, he gave me this." He comes to this lady, and she'll say, "Well, we don't go in for that sort of thing very much." "What'd your husband give you for your anniversary?" "Well, we don't go in for that sort of thing very much." Let me tell you something, gentlemen. You want to know how to love a woman? One category is the is the Santa, I call it the Santa Claus category, but it's applicable to all these important holidays. And if you want to be smart, what you need to do is to find a way to remind you. You know what you ought to do? You ought to pop in one day with a gift for your wife, and she'll say, "Well, honey, what's this? Don't you remember?" You say, "Don't you remember the first time I asked you out for a date?" No. The truth is, you don't remember either. I'm just messing with you. But let me tell you something about gifts. When I often make a mistake about this with Mrs. Collie, because we'll be in a store. I'm a man, so I don't like shopping. I don't shop. You know, you want to buy something, you just go to the store and you buy it. Right? That's what a man, that's what a man does. Women love to shop. But I go shopping because I love Mrs. Collie. And I buy her some of that fancy coffee. Mrs. Collie thinks that the more expensive a cup of coffee costs, the better it tastes. All right, so I buy it because I care about her. We go to this place to shop. And here's the thing. She'll see something that she admires. Maybe it's a scarf. I don't know. The other day, we went to a store, and she saw this dress, and it was... It was on sale, and it was, "Oh, Glenn, isn't that pretty?" Now, the wrong thing to do is what I've often done, which is to say, "Well, honey, if you like it, buy it. You know, just buy it." And you know what? How she'll always respond to that? Always. She'll say, "Well, no, I don't think she just kind of walk." You know, that's a mistake. See, if you want to be smart, what you do is that you look at that and you say, "Yeah, that's real pretty." Maybe she'll see a candle, you know, or something. "That's real pretty." Or she pulled out this dress. And you know, it is hard for a man to remember a particular dress. But I did. I said, "Oh, yeah, that's beautiful, Cindy. That's beautiful." And as we were walking away, I was naming the store and the aisle and the dress. It wasn't as hard to remember the dress. I thought it looked like a tablecloth. But before we left the store, Mrs. Collie was over a different part. You think I'm teasing. That's really what it looked. You know, it was sort of, well, anyway. So I went to the lady where Cindy couldn't see me. And I said, "Now, there's a dress on that sale rack over there. And it's off-white and it looks kind of like a tablecloth. And my wife really likes it. Now, when we leave, I want you to put that back. And tomorrow I'm going to come on my lunch break and I'm going to buy that dress. I want you to hold it for me, will you?" "Of course." And so that's how you do that. And I went back at lunch and I bought the dress. Now, I didn't give it to her that day. No. You want to put that in your special place. Find a place where you work or someplace secret that she's... Go out to the workshop and find a clean cabinet and put that sort of thing in there. And then when it's time, you take that out. Now, listen to me. Don't give your wife presents in the Walmart bag. The bag, don't you give a presence in the, you see, because it's tied to your affections. What it means is that you're thinking about her and you're feeding something that she needs. Now, gentlemen, you didn't get up one morning and think, "I think I will be a man who will need frequent intimacy with my wife." But she didn't get up one morning and think, "I think I will be the kind of woman who needs frequent affirmation of his love." She needs that. Look, when you buy her a gift, you got to wrap it, because I know you're no good at it. You're a man. No, we're not good at that, but you should still do it, because it shows you put some thought into it, and that's the point. The point is, I care about you, and I was thinking about you. That's the Santa Claus category. Here's the Michael Bolton category. There's more than one Michael Bolton. I'm thinking about the one who sang "When a Man Loves a Woman," and this one is a rule. I just want to make a rule. It goes like this. Never ever criticize your wife in front of other people. Never do it. We ought to be thoughtful and careful about criticizing our wives in private, but we shouldn't ever do it in public. And sometimes a man thinks it's very funny, you know, that he'll be around other couples and he'll tell a joke and his wife will be the butt of that joke. And, you know, he'll just laugh and laugh and he thinks that's very funny. I want to suggest that if you want to really do yourself a favor, you'll instead deliberately find things that you can compliment about your wife when you're in front of other people. I don't know how much it cost you to come today, but it was worth it for this piece of advice. When you're around other, now don't just make it up. This is not cheap flattery, but you find things in conversation that are true, that you appreciate about her, and then you compliment her in front of other people, and I can assure you, you will have done yourself a favor. Here's the last one, the Superman category. The Superman category is really simple. It's that through your married life, there are going to be times when your wife needs help. It will be sometimes because she's done a dumb thing. I always love it when Cindy does a dumb thing and I can help her. Now that seems strange. I love it because tomorrow I'm gonna do a dumb thing. You know, I do them sometimes. I forget something and it causes somebody some problem and it's gotta be fixed and whatever it happens to be, but it just makes me happy that I can do something for her and get her out of a fix, because I'm gonna need her. I'm gonna need her to get me out of one before long, and that's something to do with marriage, isn't it? Isn't it? The Superman category is this. Gentlemen, I want your wife, when she needs a hand to help her, I want her to always reach for yours. And so what you make sure about is that when your wife needs your help, that you give it willingly, even if what she just did was dumb. Honey, I know you're busy, but I locked the keys in the car again. Well, where are you? Well, I'm at Walmart. Which one? And it's the one that's far away. Now, husband, I would say that you've got two choices, and neither of those choices is, are you going to go in and lock the door? You're going to go and lock the door. You're going to do that. But your two choices are these. Number one, you could say, I told you to put a key where you could find it. And I don't know why you keep being stubborn about that. And here you go and do this again. Don't you know that I got to work and I'm busy? I can't come right now. I'll come when I can get there. Okay, you hang up. Oh, really good. Isn't that good? How do you think things are going to be when you get home that night? Huh? Your second choice. Here's your second choice, Superman. Is that you are busy, but she didn't mean to do that. She did not mean to do that. And you know that you have things that you do too, don't you? Don't you do things like that sometimes? Of course you do. And so what you say is, Superman, you know, honey, I tell you what, she said, oh, I'm so sorry. No, it's okay. You know what? We all forget things. It's all right. Now listen, I've got to finish up with this client. I can be there in about 20 minutes. Are you safe? Are you in a safe place? Won't you go on in the store? And when I get there, I'll call you so that you won't have to wait outside. And then when you get there, she's going to say, oh, honey, I am so sorry. I know how busy you are. I'm so sorry that I... Look, it's okay. Give me a kiss. Quick, give me a kiss, right? And you hug her. And then, Superman, here's what you do. You say, I tell you what, I can take another 15 or so. You want to get a cup of coffee? Now, how do you think things are going to be when you get home that night? Now listen to this old preacher. I'm telling you that as the spiritual leader of your home, these are the categories of things that your wife identifies as affection. I haven't read these. I deliberately don't read them. This is an experiment I like to do. Now, gentlemen, and those of you who are ladies who weren't here yesterday, I gave the ladies yesterday a piece of paper, and what it says is, in the last 2 weeks, the most romantic thing my husband did for me was this. Now, I never give these to the men and ask them the same question, because I think it would be monothemed. Are we communicating? I'm serious about that. Of course I'm serious. But I came to say that while that's true, I think that what we'll find here is diverse. And I'm bringing it up as we conclude this session in order that we men in the room and those who are listening on the recording, that we can get this lesson. The last 2 weeks, most romantic thing my husband has done for me, he gave me a beautiful outfit that he selected all by himself. That one says not married. Let's see. He put my socks on me He puts my socks on me when I go to bed. And then she drew a heart. He helps me when I cannot walk in the evening. He bought a car. He does the grocery shopping. He tells me he loves me every day. He treats me like a queen. He called me at work and said, "I just wanted to tell you I love you." Incidentally, I encouraged the ladies to not write their names on these and that no one would see them. He stopped by my office in the middle of the workday unexpectedly and brought me a candy bar. My husband has always opened doors for me. He made sure I'm walking on the side away from the cars. He shields me. He puts me first in many things and still does. He gave me a single rose that said, "I love you." Can I ask you a question? Where's the sex? How come these don't have sex in them? And I mean that as a sincere question. And the answer is that it's not that the wives don't appreciate sex. It is that that's not what I ask about. I ask about what was romantic that their husbands had done for them. And when these wives think of that, they don't sit down with a pen and write about sex. They write about these things. Now, why is that important? It's important because 1 Peter 3:7 says, "I want you to dwell with your wives according to knowledge." According to knowledge. So it's not enough. I think that when we married, you had a man and a woman, young, and you say, both of you in your minds, you would say, "I know how to show affection to my spouse when we get married." The funny thing is, I think you're thinking about two different things. I think you are. I need to dwell with my wife according. If I want to have a great marriage, I need to be able to speak the language that she understands, not merely to say, "Look, I know how to show affection to you, and this is how you should like affection because that's how I like affection." I need to figure it out and show her affection in the language she speaks. Most romantic thing. I didn't read these, and the ladies who wrote them did not hear this speech until just now. But this one says, "Last 2 weeks, the most romantic thing my husband has done for me, he cleans the bathrooms every Friday." Gentlemen, are you getting it? Are you getting it? Beneath it, she put, "And he makes me laugh. He gives me a back massage after the day was over, and he reassures me that I'm a good mother and wife. He asks me how I am doing. I have health issues. He took me on a surprise visit out of town and let me pick our adventure." The last was not married. There you are. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Gentlemen, do yourself a favor, and today, be good to your wife.